This is a crusade. This is a holy war against the deep state.
Where are the dictators? Where are the strong men?
Donald Trump is our instrument for retribution.
I'm going to fight for Christians. I'm going to fight for white people.
They have the Great Reset. We have the Great Awakening.
And why shouldn't I root for Russia?
Because I am.
I want to see these people go through misery because of their grooming against our children.
After the assailant entered the home asking, "Where's Nancy? Where's Nancy?" Those are the very same words used by the mob when they stormed the United States Capitol.
I did nothing wrong.
Welcome to the Did Nothing Wrong podcast, where we cut through the noise and help you make sense of the chaotic information space around us. I'm Griff Somke.
And I'm Jay McKenzie.
Jay, how you been?
I've been good. I'm still alive, and I'm here to talk to you. It's been, what, 6 months? 5 months? 6 months?
About that. I am really thrilled to have you back today. This is really great. Glad you're here.
Well, I know I wrote something up and put it on the site. I didn't actually say anything here on the podcast, but I wasn't sure if you were going to keep doing this, but you have maintained the show. You've kept it going. You kept it running, and I'm here. And, you know, I don't know how many times I'm going to do this, but we're here today, and we're going to talk about some stuff, and we're going to see how it goes. If that is all right with you, I actually am not the owner of this podcast. If that is okay with the owner and operator of this, it's the Did Nothing Wrong podcast. It's good to be here.
We're definitely going to do some more in the future. Looking forward to this, and I'm really happy to have you back around, you know. So we're going to talk about something a little contentious today. We're going to talk about a guy by the name of Benjamin Netanyahu.
Just straight into the deep end, you know.
Uh-huh.
No floaties for us.
Nope.
No pool noodles. Let's just...
right back into it. He is the guy who is in charge currently of Israel. He is the prime minister. He is really pushing a lot of the Israel response right now on what's going on in Gaza. And we're going to talk about how he needs to go.
Well, he does need to go. It's clear that he needs to go. We had the vote at the UN today. The U.S. backed a ceasefire proposal in the ongoing war in Gaza. But Russia and China, who have been voting for that, and just laying into the U.S. for not supporting their own proposals for a ceasefire, suddenly did not vote for today's ceasefire. And now they say, is it because of the requirement that all Israeli hostages are released? That might be the excuse they're going with.
I believe that is the hang up currently. And I don't see why that's really a hang up unless that's not something that Hamas can deliver. And one really wonders if that's something.
You do wonder. Okay. There's that question. There is just also the idea of Russia and China just wanting to poke the U.S. in the eye repeatedly over and over again. Just, you want to do what we want to do? Well, nah. You know, never mind. It's playground tactics. I'm rubber and you're glue, essentially. And let's keep the chaos going. Let's see the worst of it just keep happening. I did a quick perusal of the RT headlines just on the Gaza war generally in the last, not even the last week, and there's just dozens of headlines bashing Israel, bashing the U.S., not necessarily supporting Hamas, but not supporting Hamas, as seems to have been the case from the beginning.
And this is, again, Russian state media. The official position of the Russian state is, let's make life harder for Israel and the United States to work anything out in this situation.
I mean, it's just chaos. They want more chaos. And what's going to cause the most chaos right now is not having a ceasefire. And last week it was bashing the U.S. for not wanting a ceasefire. And now it's not wanting a ceasefire.
Right. And they're getting it. They're definitely getting the chaos that they've wanted. This situation doesn't get any less chaotic. Netanyahu actually traveled to the United States and had a meeting with Secretary of State Anthony Blinken, who he apparently told that he's going into Rafah, whether the U.S. backs him here or not.
Yeah, we don't need the aid and munitions and support in the UN. He just suddenly doesn't need that.
That is essentially his position. They don't need any of this. And I'm not sure what magic trick they're thinking of doing to make that happen, but they're definitely saying all the right things that they would have to say to keep their base happy with that, whatever Netanyahu's base looks like these days.
Well, to keep up the facade of Bibi, Netanyahu is this strong man. He's going to right all the wrongs and destroy all their enemies and save the day and all these things. Yeah, he can say that he doesn't need the U.S. support. He clearly does. And it's going to go even worse for him if he doesn't have the U.S. support, but it's also going to be worse for him if he doesn't say this, right? He has to say, oh, I don't need the U.S. I can do this. I can do what I want. I am not beholden to anyone.
Right.
Yeah, I guess he can. They might still go in, and the consequences, again, are just going to be worse. I mean, we can talk about how we feel about this. Yeah, I think we need a ceasefire. We needed a ceasefire a while back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long one can actually be held, but there are over 1 million refugees, citizens of Gaza and Rafah right now. It's going to be bad, probably looking at thousands, tens of thousands of civilians who are likely to be killed if they launch this some sort of full-scale operation. I want to be clear on my opinion here. I mean, there's been a debate over every single thing that's happened in this war. But even looking at recent polling, talking about who bears more responsibility or a lot of responsibility. And what do you think? How do you think that ends up between Hamas and Israel? Do you blame them both? Do you blame one over the other? What do you think?
I think that Hamas very definitely bears a huge share of the blame here, both for the current conflict and for the atmosphere that led to this. Hamas has never been especially good at keeping its word when it comes to ceasefires. Hamas has never been especially good at making it a peaceful environment. They have stored weapons in civilian facilities, including hospitals. They have lobbed rockets into Israel with impunity for a long time now. They have essentially acted like a guerrilla army, and they bear a huge share of the responsibility from 10/7, obviously, and the atrocities that they committed that day. And it's pretty indisputable now that they committed quite a few atrocities on 10/7 and continue to. However, Israel's response since then has been not great. There have been a lot of really not great things that Israel has done. And some of this stuff is inescapable when you have an opponent that insists on storing weapons in hospitals, things like that. But there comes a certain level of restraint that Israel should have used, I think, in some cases. And I remember, I believe it was Netanyahu, making a quote about, did the United States listen to anybody after 9/11 when people told them that they should hold back a little bit on this? No, but they should have. You know, no, they didn't, and we're paying for it now in a lot of areas. So learn from our mistakes. Be better. I think that right now the best thing that could happen is a ceasefire and the hostages being returned that Hamas still has, hopefully. The whole situation really cries out for UN peacekeepers at this point. It would be really great if they could somehow separate this whole thing, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, they don't have a strong track record there, unfortunately.
No. Slightly better than the belligerents here, but only slightly.
Well, let me just go with this, because I'm looking at polling from Pew. Now, this is December of 23, so it's a bit outdated, but still, I felt like it was worth talking about. So it said nearly 2/3 of Americans say Hamas has a lot of responsibility for the war. 35% say the same for the Israeli government. That essentially has 65% saying Hamas has a lot of responsibility, 9% saying Hamas has a little, 3% saying none, the rest unsure. Israel, 35% a lot, 24% a little, 16% none, which...
Huh.
Gotta guess that those 16 at none are definitely voting for Trump. I mean, I just can't have any doubt about that one.
Yeah.
Those are the MAGA hat wearers. But yeah, what would you say? Because, I mean, for me, it would be, yes, Hamas has a lot of responsibility, and Israel has a little.
Yeah, I would say Israel has definitely a right to self-defense here. I think that Hamas escalated things quite a bit on 10/7. But I really think that at some point, Israel needs to handle this in a manner that's going to allow them to become a sustainable state going forward.
Like, that is the conversation now has gone into, well, what now?
Yeah.
For me, at the end of the day, the group, the person, the people that start the war are the ones that bear the responsibility for the war. Israel did innumerable things that inflamed the issue, made it worse, that we're talking about their infringement and the West Bank, everything that they've done to essentially turn Gaza. And I think the comparisons to an open air prison are not unfounded.
No,
they should have an ability to self-govern. Even right now, it seems like the lack of aid at times is the point. And that's horrific. Mm-hmm. And civilians have died. And I mean, we can throw a little caveat or a little, you know, phrase at the end of every sentence, but I mean, there's a lot to say here. But yes, Hamas started the war, but things were really bad for a long time. And I think if you talk about all the things that were really bad, and keeping in mind, Hamas started this war, it was their choice. They bear the overwhelming majority of the responsibility for this war to me. But if you want to talk about what happened before it and who made it worse and who kept making it worse and kept making poor decisions, and so much of that was led by Israel's current prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu. Nothing will get better. I don't want to say nothing. I really struggle to see how any of this gets better until he is voted out, until he is thrown in jail for one of the many, many corruption cases that have been brought upon him or his wife.
Right.
But again, he's been tinkering with the judicial system in Israel for quite a while, so good luck with that as well. But I know you've got kind of a list in front of you of all the things that he has done to make it worse.
Yeah.
Maybe it's worth running through that.
So right now, part of the issue is that Netanyahu absolutely knows that the minute this war is over, he's gone. He has criminal charges that he is facing that have essentially been put on hold as a result of his corruption. But the war, nobody wants to stop, you know, this in midstream to prosecute the prime minister for any of this kind of stuff. He has been rung up on any number of charges. I'm looking right now at the Times of Israel. They have charged him with bribery, and he skated on that. This was the case 4000, where they essentially got him for benefiting from a corruption deal with a telecommunications company. He got favorable media coverage. He, as a result of that, he was able to help pass regulations that were favorable to them. He has done this kind of stuff as like almost a rule. He's got case 1000, which is gifts from billionaire benefactors. Case 2000, positive media coverage from a newspaper in exchange for curtailing its competitors. And of course, he always denies wrongdoing, but there's so much smoke. And if he's so innocent, why did he feel the need a few months ago to try and change the layout of the Supreme Court so it was favorable to him and potential charges would not stick?
Well, and he would say that, well, Israel doesn't have a constitution, that it was all of this, the state itself was put together in a rather haphazard way, and they have just kind of been doing things a certain way for a while, but everything has reached such a gridlock. There was a coalition formed against him that finally ousted him from the prime ministerial role a few years ago, but they couldn't keep that coalition together. And now he's back, but they keep having election after election, and the government has to form a coalition. You have to get enough seats in the Knesset to actually have a government, put a cabinet together, have a prime minister, and now the opposition just is too fragmented and they can't really center around one person. It took two men last time. But the reality is he will not go willingly. He will not go away. And yes, okay, Israel doesn't have a constitution. And yes, there is all this gridlock and an inability to form governments, too many elections, not enough time to make changes, not enough time to do this, that, and the other. And so, well, we must reform the judiciary. Also, the justices are, it's a witch hunt and they're just after me. They're not after me. They're after you.
Right.
I feel like, you know, the analogy of the chicken and the egg just needs to be applied to Trump and Netanyahu at this point, because they are so similar. And yes, Israel has its problems. And yes, it would be nice if they had stopped having all these elections. It would be nice if there was a more stability in that country and in the region. But that stability would come if Bibi would just go away. If he would just go away, then maybe things could start to heal, but he doesn't want to lose power. And so, oh, I'm going to reform the judiciary. Oh, and it just so happens that it's going to help me stay in power and not actually have to go to trial for all these corruption charges.
What a happy coincidence.
Mm-hmm. And oh, let's not talk about the I am the big strong man who failed to protect the country from an awful terrorist attack the last year. And maybe if he commits enough violence and enough horror, then people will forget about his own failings, his own inability to do the thing he promised to do, which was to keep Israel safe. And it's completely in his personal political interest to keep this going as long as possible. And the same is true of Hamas. But I think Schumer was right that, yeah, Israel needs new elections. And maybe, hopefully, they can get somebody else in there. But I just don't. How is it going to get better with this would-be wannabe dictator sitting there and finding every excuse for why he can't leave?
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the thing. It isn't. And he can't leave because the minute he stops being able to put his thumb on the scale when it comes to judiciary reform, when it comes to the courts, he's going to find himself on the other side of a cell. He knows this. So he, like you said, is very similar to Trump in that he knows that to a certain extent, what's keeping him out of the slammer is power. He wants to keep that power. He's going to keep that power by any means, fair or foul, that he can think of. And the way that this war has proceeded has handed him, you know, a huge golden opportunity to do that. And we can talk about the intelligence failures. We can talk about whether this is something that Israel should have seen coming, whether they had intelligence that let them know that this is something that Hamas was planning. And maybe Bibi looked the other way at some of this. But at this point, it really seems like they're stuck with him until this thing resolves one way or another. And what you've got right now is two sides who are fine with that outcome. Hamas is also fine with the idea of Netanyahu staying in power because, you know, the leadership in Qatar does not have their own asses on the line out there. It's definitely this just makes us look good. We're going to keep fighting these guys. We're going to keep a hold of what we've got. We're martyrs. We look amazing here. And they know that their best chance to keep the control of Gaza that they have is with Netanyahu in power.
Bibi needs to go in and, as he calls it, destroy Hamas. And he says he must go into Rafah no matter what to destroy Hamas. And it's awful to talk about it this way, but I think it is the reality that Hamas knows that a lot of this is a public relations war that is part of an actual war that is costing people lives and causing untold suffering and hunger and death that didn't have to happen. But in the public relations battle, that makes Israel look bad and it makes Hamas look better, or at least rally support for causes that they want to happen. So I think it would be better. I think Hamas does need to go. I just wish they could take Bibi with them.
Right.
Israel has a right to defend itself. What happened on October 7th is horrific. It is terrorism. Hamas militants absolutely committed war crimes and horrible things. And even reading about that, it still I think as a parent, it's hard to forget a lot of those stories of what happened to innocent civilians in Israel. And I don't want to compare. What's happening in Gaza is horrific. Seeing bombed homes, dead children, things that have no doubt happened time and time again is horrific. And I think there at least has been a line in the sand drawn here.
Yeah.
And the U.S. finally drew that line and is sticking to it. And that's good. But yeah, it's so sinister that Bibi is out to destroy Hamas. But really what he needs is for Hamas to not go away, to never go away. He needs this war to go on and on and on. And
that's how he stays in.
He didn't want to go to jail. I mean, it's the same thing with Trump. It's that question of, okay, are you going to do what's best for you or what's best for the country? And for both of them, you can say so many things, but that is undoubtedly just unflinching. They are always going to do what is best for them. Right. Trump wants to stay out of jail. He needs help with his legal fees. He is running for president for both. Yes, it's going to wreck this country. It clearly is. It's going to be a problem. And hey, maybe we should go ahead and start talking about 2028. Because if he loses, guess what? If he's still alive in 4 years, he's running again. And you did it to yourselves, Republican Party. And why? Why will he not take the calls to do the right thing and step aside? And because he doesn't give a fuck.
Nope.
He doesn't care.
Look at his most recent moves to put Lara Trump in charge of the RNC and then all of a sudden have a joint fundraising agreement where the money goes to him first. You know, like he's getting his VIG out of the RNC before anything goes to state and Senate campaigns. And that's not going to backfire or anything on them come, you know, the push in September and October when they're going to want to buy some TV ads and they don't have any money because they're funding Trump's legal defense.
I mean, how did that go in 2020? How did that go in 2016 with the inauguration? There are still unanswered questions about that money. I don't know. You put enough P.O. boxes and LLCs and media consultant companies that may or may not be doing anything out there and try to follow like how much of this is actually being spent on campaigns. And with everything being digital, it is so hard to track this.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, by the way, we've gutted the federal agencies who are meant to be watchdogs on this. I don't know where all the money went. And I'm not sure that anyone does, but the idea that they're not going to stick their hand in the till it's laughable. It's laughable.
And it's one of the last remaining huge piles of money that's going to come in on the Republican side anytime soon. You know, those small dollar donations, because when you look at the fundraising, Trump's way behind. He's not getting those same small dollar donations. And he's got a 25% chunk of the Republican Party, at least in the primaries, that is looking at him and saying no. They're voting for people like Nikki Haley, who isn't even running. You know, Ron DeSantis, even Meatball Ron, even pulling a few votes here and there. Vivek Ramaswamy is pulling votes. There is a chunk of the Republican Party that does not want this guy. And they're going to have to figure out how to win an election with a whole lot less cash and a significant rump minority of people that say no. And sure, you'll carry the Florida, you'll carry South Carolina, but is that enough to carry Ohio? Are you going to be able to carry Arizona? Are you going to be able to carry Wisconsin with that kind of deficit?
Yeah, I think they say what now? The number of states that are actually up for grabs seems to get smaller every election. Whoever the nominee is probably going to get around 200 electoral votes just by default.
Yeah.
But it's everything after that that's the question. And plenty of Republicans are never going to vote for Biden, but they just won't vote. If they really have a long, hard look and think about Trump, they know who he is. And he can win. He absolutely can win. Biden is old. Something could happen to his health. And then what? Trump could absolutely win. I don't think it's likely. I think we shouldn't take anything for granted. If 2016 taught us anything, no. My God, don't take anything for granted. He absolutely could win. We've been saying that from the beginning. I still think it's unlikely. Look, I mean, we started this talking about Netanyahu. I cannot tell you. I feel like I could go do a Google search by year since, I don't know, he was first PM in 96. And there's probably dozens of articles every every year for the last 20 odd years saying Netanyahu's done. This is the end of Netanyahu. Netanyahu's finished. He doesn't go away. He keeps coming back and he keeps finding a way. I'm not sure that prison would do it. Lula's president of Brazil. Is prison going to do it? I don't know. So same thing with Trump. I don't know. Maybe no labels can steal enough votes. Maybe RFK Jr. can stop sounding insane long enough to pull some votes. I don't know. I don't know if that's realistic.
Maybe the polls showing kids somehow supporting Trump 50 to 34 are actually accurate. Maybe somehow.
The polls, I'm not going to put a lot of faith in the polls. I feel like a lot of those kids are just lying, or, well, who knows? The polls have not been very reliable in the last few elections.
Nope.
How's that Republican majority in the Senate going?
Yeah.
How's that super majority in the Senate going for the Republicans?
The red wave crested a little early, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And there were people that are convinced, but also, how many people were convinced that Meatball Ron was the front runner?
The future of the Republican Party, the front runner. Trumpism without Trump, I believe, was the phrase that they used.
People were so mad at us just for saying, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't want to say we were the earliest, because to me, that has to be Rick Wilson.
Yeah.
Rick Wilson was out there from the beginning saying, Ron, you can go back and listen to our interview with him, but Ron doesn't have a chance. There's no way. And even then, that was more than a year ago. He said he's been saying that for 2 years, and he's right. I mean, it was just embarrassing. It was hard to watch.
He didn't even make it to the debates to get eviscerated by Trump. I mean, we were all like laughing at the idea of what a Ron DeSantis Trump debate was going to look like, and we didn't even get it.
No,
that to me is one of the biggest disappointments of this race so far, is that we didn't get to see Meatball Ron in the debates.
Yeah. Well, when he couldn't figure out how to smile, you knew there was a problem. When everybody just kept playing that clip of him trying to smile, and it looked like they had to have somebody come on stage and insert some Botox into him just so he could put it up there. That was a bad sign for you, Ron. Yeah, but in any case, like, never say never. The idea of Trump winning is, I've been saying it from the beginning, it's scary. It's still scary. I do not want to see that come to pass. It is absolutely a possibility. I mean, when it's one person, or, you know, one person and the VP against another person and their VP, look, anything can happen. But
right.
And that's where we're at. And that is also, I think all of that is heightened by this war. I mean, there's something that can derail Biden's chances. It is this war in Gaza. But I don't have the temperature probably as well as you, because I have not been in the thick of it quite as I was 6 months ago.
Right.
But look, all the people who are supporting Russia against Ukraine, the Nick Fuenteses, the Andrew Tates,
Jackson Hinkles.
Yeah, they're all on the side of Hamas. And I mean, we can differentiate between Hamas and the Palestinian people, and we absolutely should, because Hamas are an enemy of the Palestinian people. I mean, I have no doubt about that. But this is the side. The people that support Putin are with Hamas. They may not say, I support Hamas, but it's clear through their rhetoric, they won't condemn Hamas. They are sending tacit support their way. And I understand why people are upset with Biden. I understand why they don't think he's done enough, that calling for the ceasefire is too late. But Trump, as president, he would say, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to solve it. I'm going to do a deal. It's going to be the best deal. It's going to happen immediately, within 24 hours. Jared Kushner, he'll be in there. He'll be building those resorts in Gaza on that waterfront property.
Yep. Marching the Gazans off to the Sinai, wasn't it? I mean, seriously.
Yeah, we just got to move it. It's a difficult or a little bit of an unfortunate situation.
Right.
But there's this untapped Mediterranean coast that Jared Kushner just can't wait to use MBS's money to build some resorts on. But look, Trump is going to say all that. He's going to promise all these things. And then he's going to turn around an hour later and say, nuke Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
Bibi just wants to hold on. And my God, is he hoping Trump wins, because Trump is not going to stop him from doing anything. He is going to stand by and cheer it on, and it will be horrific.
Can we remind that Bibi at one point named a settler's colony Trump Heights? They love this guy. he loves this guy because he's a kindred spirit. This is the guy who's going to back up any plan he wants to have. So if you're one of those people that believes that you can't support Biden because of his enabling a genocide, if that's really how you feel about it, I get it. That nobody really likes the amount of influence Israel seems to have in United States politics. Getting foreign money out of United States politics is an admirable goal. But if you really think it's going to be better under a Trump administration on any level, you're kidding yourself. It's going to get worse, and it's going to get a lot worse real fast, among other things that are going to get worse a lot faster.
Yeah, and you may wish it was different. You may wish there was another choice.
Mm-hmm.
I wish we had a different political system than the one we currently have. The two-party system, we're going to criticize it. It's broken. It's bad. There's so many problems. Democrats deserve plenty of criticism for so many things. But there's one party that's at least trying to govern, at least has some sense of decency and guided by whatever you think of them, moral principles that each of us can relate to. And there's another that has no interest in governing, and they have an interest in themselves and their donors and what they need and what they want. And what Trump wants is whatever Bibi wants. And what Bibi wants is for this war to keep going. He does not care about the casualty figures. And I don't think what Israel is doing is a genocide. I don't. And people can have issue with that. I understand that. I understand why people believe it. I'm not saying it's ludicrous. I don't share that opinion. I don't think that's what's occurring here. But I think there's just going to be a binary choice. And everything that's happening is going to be worse with Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Demand Biden do better. Demand that the administration takes all this seriously. Absolutely. But I think Schumer had a great idea. Yeah, call for new elections. Biden, and with his hot mic moment.
Yeah, come to Jesus
moment with Netanyahu. Good. Very obviously intentional, and I'm sure that they planned that. But that is the right thing. That's what they should be doing. At its simplest form, it's about sides. It's about choices. It's Biden or Trump. It's, are you on the side of Hamas and Iran and Russia, or are you on the side of Israel, the United States, NATO, the West, and NATO, and the U.S., and Biden? Everybody on that side deserves criticism. That's fine. Criticism is good. Nobody is perfect. They could be doing more. They should be doing more. But I am on that side. I am on the side of liberal democracy, and that means voting for Biden.
The rule of law.
The rule of law.
At the end of the day, it's about the rule of law. It's about the idea that there is one side in this conflict that at least tries to do better. Yes, they've made their share of mistakes. Absolutely. We could go over all of them, but we could go over a ton of mistakes on the other side that just keep getting made. We could go over forced organ donations from the Uyghur Muslims. We could go over all kinds of things. And they're going to keep doing what they do because the people that run those countries like it that way.
Yeah.
At least here, you still have a choice.
Well, at least on this side, on the side of liberal democracy, we do hold each other accountable. There is room for criticism. There is room for demanding that things are better. And on the other side are Mariupol,
yep,
and Alexei Navalny. And there are the crackdown of protests in Iran.
Would anybody give a shit about Bob Menendez and the suitcase full of gold bars in Russia? Would they have cared? Probably not.
Well, did he criticize Putin?
No, didn't say a thing about the ruling party.
Oh, then no, they don't. Then who cares?
Exactly.
Who cares?
Exactly. Here, he's not running again. I mean, will he end up going to trial and going to jail? Hopefully, if he's guilty. And it looks like he is at this point. But that's what you get when you have a system that actually does prosecute people for these kinds of things.
Yeah, that's the final form of Trumpism. And we've seen that break and splinter with, remember when even the hint of a scandal meant that a politician would resign?
Yeah.
And then Trump comes along and they just stay in office. Like, well, I don't have to leave. I mean, how long did it take George Santos to leave?
I know, right? Like a year the guy was in power. The guy somehow had an office when scandal after scandal after scandal just hit to the point where it was almost comical. Like, what does this guy have to do before people finally throw him out?
Yeah.
How bad is this going to get? And it got real bad, and he's probably going to end up in prison, but he wasn't going to resign on his own.
No.
There's just no way. They had
to finally vote him out.
They didn't want to do it. They absolutely didn't want to do it.
10 years ago, allegations of 1% of the things that he's accused of doing would have meant somebody resigned. And as it was, it took more than a year and they finally kicked him out. He didn't leave on his own. You're right. And what mattered is that he kept voting with Kevin McCarthy and he kept supporting Trump and he kept the MAGA influencers on side. And so as long as he didn't lose them, he didn't have to go.
Yeah.
They needed that seat. They needed that vote. And that was more important. Yeah, that's the final form of the loyalty cult that is centered around Trump that the Republican Party has used to replace whatever form of governance they once pretended to be behind. Is, well, did you say nice things about the dear leader or did you not? And I don't want to live in that.
No. And I think that there's a significant chunk of the Republicans out there still that don't either. And the results of the primary elections back up what I'm saying here, that there is a huge chunk of the Republican primary that doesn't want this guy. And they're telling exit polls in numbers of at least half of that, that they're not going to vote for the guy in the fall. Now, things could change. Some of these people could come home. They could not vote for Biden. This isn't a one-for-one type of situation, but they need all the votes they can get to win in some of these places. And if they lose, you know, 5% of their vote in Arizona, they're not going to win it. It's going to be not even close in some of these places.
The reality is, unless there's some kind of event, unless, you know, Biden gets sick or something completely unforeseen happens, that you come to election day and it's Biden against Trump, the only really conceivable way Trump wins is through a third party peeling away enough votes or enough voter suppression to convince people not to vote for Biden. And not sure that that can happen. Again, don't think it's likely, but it's the only conceivable option. And this war in Gaza is very clearly a way in which they can hit Biden and they can hit him and then hit him and hit him and hit him over and over and again. And it's going to be Trump and it's going to be Russia and China and Iran and everybody else who doesn't like liberal democracy. You're going to have El Salvador piling in with Bukele and all of the MAGA adjacent trolls down there.
Oh, he already has.
Yeah.
He's had his share to say about it too. And all of these people have a vested interest in seeing Trump back in. All of these people would absolutely love it. And if that's the side you're on, then that's the side you're on. But that's not the side I'm on. Yes, these people could do better. Biden could do better. They could have called for a ceasefire sooner. They could have said something sooner. But you're comparing and contrasting that with a guy like Trump who's never going to call for it. He just isn't.
No.
You're going to get this endless conflict because I think both Bibi and Hamas will drag this out as long as they can. And I think that Trump's not going to do anything to stop it. Trump's not going to give him a come to Jesus. Again, if you're one of those voters who somehow thinks it's going to be better under anyone else, I'd love to know how. Or do you just hope the entire system collapses around it so you'll get what you think you're going to get when the system collapses?
Yeah. Do not support, which, yeah, wish things were different. But again, we're speaking the real truth here. We're telling it like it is.
We tried to.
Budding old age. But yeah, it is a choice. I mean, for me, it's I support Israel, but I would really like to support an Israel that's not led by Netanyahu. Because, again, it's in his interest for this to continue to get worse. It's in Russia and China's interest for this to drag on. It's the reason they're voting against that ceasefire, because the U.S. is trying to limit the chaos and they are trying to increase it. And that helps them. That helps Bibi. That helps Trump. And yes, absolutely demand more, demand better. But also you have, and they have listened. With Biden calling out Netanyahu, with Schumer calling for new elections, they understand. And I think probably the majority of the Biden White House sees this for what it is, that we have to be on the side of Israel, but we'd really like to have somebody else to talk to. We'd really like somebody else to be in charge. We'd really like it if the people of Israel could get their shit together and get this guy out. I know a lot of people have tried. I know a lot of people demanded more and better, and I commend them.
Mm-hmm.
But look, it's down to choices, and Biden isn't perfect. Yeah, he's old. My God, yeah. Ugh.
Yeah.
But I don't care. I don't care. I'm going to vote for him, and I think you should too. And I think you have to see this for what it is. And when you're on the side of Andrew Tate and Nick Fuentes and all of these horrible, horrible people, just consider why. It doesn't mean you're them just because, well, they share this one stance. No, I'm not judging you for caring about the plight of the Palestinian people. What is happening to them is horrific. Children going hungry. These so many dead civilians. And it's ongoing, and it's going to get worse if Netanyahu is in charge. But it's one thing to support the Palestinian people. It's another thing to be repeating the rhetoric of RT and Zero Hedge and Nick Fuentes and the Russian ambassador.
Because you know where that's coming from, and you know what their stances are on everything else. You know that these people have an agenda, and that agenda involves making the United States fall by any means they can. This is another front in that.
And if you think they care about civilian casualties, go ask the people of Mariupol. Just ask them how much Russia cares about civilian deaths. They don't. That's not at all what this is.
Nope. This is an excuse. This is just one more attempt to drag the United States for something. Could they have done better? Yes. One hopes that they will in the future. I think they're trying to do better right now. I think they're pushing as hard as they rationally can with things being where they are. But
that's the thing, too, that, like you said, they are doing better. They did propose the ceasefire, and it's not all the way there, and it got vetoed. But it is, they have listened. They have heard people demanding better, demanding accountability, more aid. They are trying. But if Trump is president and you demand better, guess what's going to happen? Nothing. They will not listen.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is the tenet of liberal democracy, is that the people's voices matter. And Putin doesn't care. Trump doesn't care. Xi doesn't care. The only concern they have is a threat to their power. And public opinion, it comes and it goes. And the strong can control the weak. And as long as the strong control the weak, they don't care what you think. And that is the world you would live in under Trump. And so, yes, it is a choice. It is either you can have your voice heard and maybe, hopefully, someone will listen, or you get the people who don't care, who will not listen, mm-hmm. who will actively work to make it worse.
And I don't think any of us want to live in that world. I know I don't.
No. No.
Thanks for listening to the Did Nothing Wrong podcast. If you want to hear more, you can find us on the web at didnothingwrongpod.com. Please make sure you subscribe to get our content straight into your inbox. You can also follow us on Twitter at GrizzaBJJ, GrzaBJJ, as well as DNWPod. We're extremely grateful for paid subscriptions and donations that allow us to keep doing this important work. Thanks, and remember, everyone mentioned did nothing wrong.